Good morning, church. God has really transformed my PPT because I had sent it other way, but now we can see it is budding plants. So really praise God for that. So we are into the series of endurance. What is endurance? Something as a follow-up we were sharing, like you can go through the audios in case you miss it. I did not miss last Sunday, but I too little go through the updates, and then I could find that endurance is what? It is already available. You can see an answer. What is endurance? Suffering. And then it is a race. It is a stamina. And then it means getting through the trials without compromising or wavering. So without compromising, this rainy season, you could come here. Is it? Isn't it? So clap to each other, give a light, applause to each other. It's really good, because in spite of this odd, we could commit and we could attain. So it shows that we are enduring it. Is it? Yes or no? Yes. Praise God. So now today we are going to go through the topic endurance individual. So in James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4 it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Word perseverance and endurance meaning same, because some translations it says endurance, some translation it says perseverance. So he says that we have to persevere. Perseverance and enduring the things which we have planned is of more important. Then what will happen? And when that work is completed, you become mature enough. Like I know in my earlier years when I came to Renewed Hope Community Church, we had a summer camp. In that summer camp, a pottery session was held for the children. Many of the children were not there at that moment of time. Few children were there. And in that pottery session, an artisan has come and she said that you have to make pots. So we all were, I could see their parents helping their kids. And I was also watching. Everybody was preparing so well. Because we were raising that to raise the fund for the street kid ministry during that time. So that is what it is. But then, what happened? The artisan, what she said that you will not touch anything because it has to go through process. It has to go through furnace. Then only it becomes strong and sturdy. Because if you take only that pot and if you put pour water in that, what will happen? It will get porous and water will start dripping. But when it goes to the furnace, what will happen? It will have sturdiness. It will be matured enough to hold anything. Even the cup, whatever the glasses which are there, porcelain glasses, cups, whenever we drink water or tea, what happens? It holds. It is mature enough. So because of this we have to go through. And it is in last session also we have seen, it is a discipline. We discipline our children. Why? Because to get on the higher level, so that they will have a good time. So here, we see that, endurance is important. And we go through that. Endurance, we go through that test. And one who few passes, few, they don't pass. Reasons are there behind it. But we'll see what happens. So there are, in the New Testament, there are godly people also who quit. Sometimes they want to quit because of the pressures, because of the tensions. And here we see Moses. What Moses? He was handpicked by God. He was handpicked by God himself. And then we know the story. He took all the Israelites out to the land of Pharaoh. And then he, as he traveled and all everything, then people started murmuring, started complaining. Manna was given. Even after manna, they were murmuring. They wanted what? Meat. He was desperate. What is happening with me now? And then what Moses said, he said to the Lord in Numbers 11:15, he said that, if this is how you are going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. That is what Moses said. That is what it is in the verse. So sometimes it happens. Sometimes we also get fed up and we say, chalo, bahut ho gaya. But then do we give up? Did Moses give up? He said. But did he give up? No. What about Elijah? Elijah was the greatest prophet of his time, of his Old Testament. Even he challenged what? Idolatry. And he called fire from heaven, saying that, come. And to the prophets of Baal, he was a challenge. But when the things turned, what happened? He got afraid. He ran. And then what Elijah said in 1 Kings 19:4? Somebody can read? Yes. Then we speak of Job. Job, we speak of his faith. We speak of his patience. No, he was truly a great person, a great man. And we really, he did great things. But then, when we look at, he had a great beginning and also a great ending. But in between, what happened? He had a tough time. And he started pondering upon, he said, why I was born? He said, why I was born? I would have not been there. Because he went through that period of time, a very bad period of time. And that is what he said in Job 3:3, says, may the day of my birth perish, and the night that said, a boy is conceived. That is what Job said. Then, when we go to the book of Acts, chapter 18, we have already gone through that complete book. And we are so blessed by going that book. Because it speaks about our church. Because from that is where the church foundation started. So when Paul was coming from Athens to Corinth, he was really tired, exhausted. And then we see here Paul getting totally exhausted. And then he speaks to the Corinthians. What does he speak? I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. The thing is, when he traveled from Athens to Corinth, he was already fatigued, because I was just searching in Google how many miles it is and all everything. Some said it is 53, some said 40, some 45. I really don't know. But it was number of miles to walk around, it is really tiring. Even to come from Kargar to this hotel, we get exhausted. What about him? Just think of him, walking so many miles ahead. He was into the business of tent making. Not only that, he started preaching the gospel. So he was more depressed and more willing to give up. But then what did he say? I came to you in weakness. What is weakness? Physical weakness. Physically, you may be not strong enough. Because if you see the Greek people or those area, those type of people, they were very stout, sturdy. Not lean like me. But here he was very physically down. And then he said, with great fear and trembling. Fear is what? Anybody fears here? How many of you fear? Can you raise the hand? But I cannot see. Because it is the internal feeling. You cannot see. But trembling, can you see? It is outward experience. You know? If somebody is coming with fear, yeah, I understand. But when he starts trembling himself while talking, then we'll come to know. Or he has really become fearful. Isn't it? So it is the outward experience. So he says to the Corinthians that I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. And Acts 89, really when he was very tired, exhausted, when he thought of giving up, God said, boy, this is not the time to give up. The more you go stronger, the more closer you are. And that is why God spoke to Paul. And he says in chapter 18, verse 9 and 10, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. He was afraid. He knew something is going to happen, and let me not. Because sometimes enemies, they are just waiting how to trap, how to this. But God said, no, nobody will harm. Nobody will distract you. Move ahead. I am there with you. And so this way, we see that God is, Paul is moving ahead in his life. The thing is, when we look at Paul, he speaks about many of his hardships. Many of his hardships he went through in life. And when we see this, read this 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 to 28, he went through many trials, persecutions, difficulties. Can somebody read this? Okay, I will read. It says, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled, and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. So much of persecution and trials event, and he shows up from here. One thing I want to say that here he says that 24, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. You are supposed to lash a person 40 times, not more than 40 times. If you go to Deuteronomy 25 and verse 22, if I am not wrong, it says 40 lashes you can give. And these lashes were given by the Jews. But when it, and he, minus one, he says, why? Because while giving the lashes to Paul, they said, we are not giving you 40, still we are showing mercy on you. Just imagine, one shot. At that also they are saying that I am showing mercy for you. We are showing mercy on you. So he says 39 minus 1. O to lashish martha tha. But then what happened about next verse? Romans, they were showing rods. They were beating with rods. And that is what here he says 25. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Romans usually used rods. And then we say that Next, we can see that 27, I have labored and toiled and I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and I have gone without food. Hunger and thirst is what? Many times are we hungry? Yes, we are hungry. We want to eat at number of times. But sometimes I have experienced, I had money, but I have no restaurants around to eat. You know, I was so hungry, I wanted to eat something. But my work or place was such an area, I could not. Though I had money, I could not. So maybe because of the poverty, or maybe because of the circumstances, he was without food. And he says, I was hungry, means hunger was there, and I had gone food. I have been cold and naked. Now he sees more. What we do? We wrap. We come with sweaters or shawls. But he had no clothes sometimes. He was like stripped. So much of persecution in small things and in great things. Yet, he did not quit. And further, when he writes to Timothy, he says that in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. The thing is, I have fought a good fight. What is this fight? Not dishum dishum. It is a good struggle. Struggle which we are going through. The suffering which we are going through. That fight, he is saying, good fight. A good struggle. Sometimes when we get annoyed or something like that, what language do we use? Good language or bad language? See, always when you are fighting, you should have a good struggle. Good fight. Good spirit. Not turn here and there. We are not of worldly things. Are we of worldly things or of heavenly things? Then our language, our thoughts, our actions should be of heavenly things. So, Paul was captured by Paul. Paul was captured by God. And that is why he was sustaining all these things. He was moving ahead in this life. And that is why he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. At the end you could say, I have completed it now. You must be so happy when you are in a running race. And last time also we saw, we are not running a 100 meter race. We are running a marathon race. Isn't it? Marathon race is a long race. We are not short-sighted. We are long-sighted. That is what Paul was. And that is what we should be. And he said, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, there is in store for me. Store in for me is what? Reserved. When you go to any restaurants, some plates are kept on the table. It is reserved. Is it? So he said, it is reserved for me now. What it is reserved? The crown of righteousness. See, the crown of righteousness is something we have to think of. We are saved by grace, not by works, deeds, yes. So just say to your neighbor, I am saved by grace, not by deeds. Just say. So that anybody is having little sleepiness, it will go off. So once again, you can say little loudly so that his ears will be clear cut. Say loudly. Okay, good. So we are saved by grace. But here he is saying crown of righteousness. What is this crown of righteousness? We'll just look ahead as we go. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, righteous judge. Now he is what? Merciful. Even if you sin, you can say, Lord, okay, I have sinned. I am really sorry. But there, righteous judge, will he show mercy? No. Will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. That day is the day when he is going to appear. So here, now that crown of righteousness, and it is not only pertaining to Paul, but it is pertaining to each one of us. So just say to your neighbor that we can have that crown of righteousness. Now we are is common. Now you say, I can have. Just point to yourself and say to your neighbor, I can have. And now you point out to your neighbor, do you have that righteousness? Crown of righteousness? Point out. Okay. So that is what? It is easy to say, crown of righteousness. I know. But what? I am able to have that crown of righteousness. Because the word of God says, not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing, for his coming. That is what he says. So here, I like to read. Now how this righteousness we have to see, crown of righteousness, how we can achieve. So here, it is now or after we pass off from this world? Great. It is now. Here, when we see Matthew 16:27, here it says that, for the Son of Man, this is Jesus is speaking. Jesus is telling that, for the Son of Man is going to come in the Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person. Can somebody read ahead? Because I think so. What they have done. So just say what you have done. Just say to your neighbor what you have done. And just say to the neighbor also, I have done something. Maybe I have done something, isn't it? So it is, see, something. What you have done in this life. What you have done in this life. It is more important. It is not only hearing in this hall for 1 or 2 hours and going off, and then having our own way, our own language, our own actions, our own thoughts. No. God is going to question this. And then somebody can read. I put my mobile in aeroplane mode, so I'm not able to read it. Revelation 22:12. Yeah. See, reward, I am coming soon. That is, have longed for his appearing. Are we longing for his appearing? Or just because of formalities we are gathering here? Can I hear? Just because of routine we have come here? Or with that zeal we have come here? Praise God. So, we are longing for his appearing. So, when he comes, he will give that reward. And third, again one more verse, just 2 Corinthians 5:10.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
Whether it is good or? So what we are sowing here, you will harvest there. If you are sowing good, it is like a seed, which fell on the fertile land. Not on that rock, not in that thorns, not elbows, but on the fertile soil. So, Accordingly, whether you have done good or bad, we will be rewarded. But we have to go through that endurance. We have to go through that suffering. We should have that, we should be in the race. Long race, marathon race, not short race. For that race, we should have stamina. So that is what it speaks. And further, here Paul all speaks about his persecution, what the things he went through. And then he does lot of difficulties and problems he had. But he persevered and he went through. So how do we endure? That is something, ways and thoughts we can just ponder upon how Paul went through all the things and things which we can learn from him also. See, Paul knew something. Something is there. And he knew and he understood the word. And because of that, he was moving ahead. And first is that God's presence. How we can handle the things? You should be always be assured that God's presence. While today we were praying, many of them, they said that God's presence is with us. Is it? So always remember, God is always with us. Now one thing I tell you, how to remember is, how many of you all know at moments, be honest, that you all are breathing? How many of you all know? Honestly, that you all are breathing now? Only when I go in the morning now for a walk and I do some breathing exercise, then only I realize I am breathing. At the rest of the day, till the night, I never realize that I am breathing. So, air is always there. Likewise, God is always there with us. Is it? So he says in Acts 23:11, he says, the following night the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so that you also testify in Rome. It was a routine. It was a habit of Paul. Wherever he went, he used to go to first to in the synagogue. Preach the word of God. Speak the word of God. Always and always. And he had some desire to visit Rome. To visit Rome is very expensive. But then God made a provision also. I will send you. As a prisoner, you will go, you will enjoy that Rome also. See, free of cost. The word of God is so very clear. First is seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added. Is it? So here we see that he is stretching it. So he says, now you take courage. I will send you to Rome. And then Hebrews 13:5 says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. If you read earlier, he says that be content in what you are having. Is it? He says that way. Then Psalm 23:4, he says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, when you are in that valley of death, or when you are discouraged, maybe you are having own issues. I'm not saying, God knows what are your issues, what are your problems. God knows more better than anyone else. Sometimes, even the spouse, sometimes they don't share it, what they are undergoing through. But they will share to the Lord. They will share to the God in prayer. God, this is the problem which I am having. So he says that, in that situation, so you may be having a problem of, I don't know, but financial problem you may be having. You may be having a relationship problems. In that situation also, he is there with you. Realize it and feel it. Not only that, in the book of Matthew, it starts and ends with God's assurance of his presence with us. In Matthew 1:23 says, The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Just say to your neighbor, God is with us. Now you say to your neighbor, really God is with you? Isn't it? So see, always God is with us. Okay? So I'm just making it to say again and again so that you'll be awake. Because the weather is so cozy, so nice. You feel like little dozing. Even if I would have been there, I would have done the same thing. So he says that he is with us. And what? Then he says in 28:20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Till this age passes off, till the coming of Jesus Christ, till his appearing, he will be there. Means till as long as we are on this earth, he will be with us. Amen? Say a little loudly, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, praise God. Then, God's protection. Sometimes, as an individual, we have to take a stand. We have to deal many things. And then it becomes really difficult. We don't know. But in that situation also, God happens. What does? He protects us. He says, in Acts 18:10, he says, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. That is at Corinth, he was speaking about. So, he is there, always with us. God protects us from all the things. It may be your enemies, or some many, I don't know, where I was working. There were many people who used to play, my colleagues, they used to play mischief and take credit upon themselves. You know, you work and credit is taken by the other person in front of the boss. It happens. You prepare the project and other one of your other colleagues takes the credit of it. It happens. So these are the enemies which are there. But in that situation also, God protects us. And he says that, so it may be your enemies or life threats because of the gospel also, you have to face the challenges. And there are many other issues. So there is some purpose, God's purpose in your life. Just say to your neighbor, there is some God's purpose in your life, in my life. There is God's purpose in my life, there is God's purpose in your life too. So, we have not come here by chance. We are destined for it. And there he says, why? Because, and if you choose to live fearlessly, you have to see that God protects. See how God protected? There were many chances when we saw the persecution and hardship of Paul. At times, they tried to kill him. But was he able to be killed? No. Unless he could say, I have finished my race. He could say that I have completed my race. I finished my course. Till then, they tried, but they could not. They killed even Jesus Christ, but not until he could say, it is finished. Nobody will hurt you, nobody will harm you, nobody will destroy you, because God is always protecting us. Just say to your neighbor, God is protecting us. Yeah. Then one of the story I want to just Angel will read out that story. It is of a Frederick Nolan, a North African person who comes.
Frederick Nolan, serving God in North Africa in the midst of terrible persecution, Christians were running from for their lives, and Nolan was fleeing on foot. Exhausted, he stopped to catch his breath and saw a small cave. Went in to await his enemies, locating him, inevitably killing him. And he sat. He saw a small spider weaving a web across the mouth of the cave. Eventually, the web covered the entire mouth. He sat fascinated. As the persecutors arrived, they saw the cave, marched toward it, saw the web, and said he couldn't be in there. They left and he escaped. Later he said, with God, a spider web is like a wall, and without God, a wall is like a spider web.
Friends, there was a solid persecution in this North Africa, and he was just moving ahead, running away from those people. He found one cave, he just entered it, and no time he could see, he was surprised, a web made a complete, he covered that hole which was there, entrance, with a complete web. And they came, they saw, are a complete web, either koi jayega hi nahi, chalo. And what were his words? He was really touched by this. And I want to reiterate the same words again. He said, "This with God, a spider web is like a wall. And without God, a wall is like a spider web." So when God is with us, nothing is going. When God protects, He will protect from all sides. If I call you for some testimonies, many will come forward. Because we know it is an answer to our God. When we pray, God answers. So now Thursday we are meeting together for God's protection at Nilchi. As a body, as a church, we are going to meet together. Have a nice time of fasting and prayer. Join us so that we'll have total protection, because the way it is raining, it is too much. So we have to be little cautious and careful. So because God's protection will be always there. And we see here through Him. The next, God's strength. Here the best part is, the thing is, whenever he was weak, Paul, he was drawing the strength from God. And he knew that I can do all this through Him who gives me strength, because He is a strength giver. And as a believer, we know that there is some power on He, because Paul was waiting for that power of Almighty God, and he is to strengthen himself. And as a believer, we have within us a presence of Holy Spirit. And because of that, we can strengthen, we can equip ourselves. And then what happens? Whatever our, because we are chasing for some dreams. So when we are chasing our dreams, we get sometimes knocked down. But then we have that divine power within ourselves. And we can move ahead. Because His strength will help us to do what we have planned. What God will is there, it can be done. This is what it says, God's will. Because a deep conviction of being in the perfect will of God gives you the confidence to endure. So, conviction should be there within ourselves. And when you have that conviction, you can face any sufferings, any challenges, it comes to your life. Just say to your neighbor, are you able to endure? Don't get embarrassed. Say loudly so that... Yes. Because saying loudly is because His presence will be there. When you are saying, you are saying it from the spirit. You are saying it from within yourself. And you are renouncing it again and again. So he says, with God, with strength, it is possible. Then next, we go to the God's joy. When we go to the God's joy, you know, this is in Philippians. He was in jail. Jail is a good place. Prison is a good place. But then, see now what he says that. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. What happened actually in that jail? There were many guards to guard Paul. But Paul was sharing the gospel to them. And you see in Philippians, jailers, they got saved. How many of you have? We have gone through that book also in Book of Acts. Many guards, they got saved. So, in that situation, he is at the point of that. Because when you are in prison, really you are nervous. In that situation, he was full of joy. And here he says again, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. You'll find the sense of joy when throughout his writings in the book of Philippians, though he was in jail. Friends, we should not get discouraged. We should not turn away from that. Because even one song is that, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Always be joyful. Let smile come up and let us move ahead. Because he faced it. So we have that joy. Then, yeah. Because that joy, we say, it is always overflowing within us. And we have to get equipped with it. And in that situation also we see Paul is rejoicing. Can somebody read?
Marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
So here he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, therefore, in the sense, earlier, this earlier chapter, or earlier things, whatever. Therefore, anybody have solved that geometry? In my school days, there was a geometry, and you have to prove this is equal to this. And then we have to give this and this, this, and then at last we say, therefore, A is equal to B. Isn't it? Or opposite sides of a triangle are equal. Isn't it? So likewise, therefore in the sense, earlier, there is a long list who are there. So he said, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Everything that hinders, everything that is hindering, it is not, I've written some dots, I liked it. So he says, hinders is what? It means obstruction, obstacle, impediment, constraint, handicap, inconvenience, nuisance, disadvantage, and drawback. It doesn't have to be sin. This hindrance should not necessarily not be a sin. Okay? It could be lack of faith. Lack of faith. Then he says, or fear, or lack of efforts. It could be laziness or discouragement. Most of the time, we want, but we take little extra now because this time These days the weather is very pleasant and all everything. So we take extra nap. Is it? Yes or no? Yes. But it is our laziness. As long as we are on this earth, we have to be like a racer. They wake up early morning. They have very good exercise and all everything. Because they know that I have to win that race. The main is laziness. Okay, that is what I felt like here. So what is hindus? Hindus, as a runner, what happens? They stripe themselves. They have minimum weight upon themselves to make themselves light. I remember in my college days, one of my friends asked me, Stephen, will you join me for morning run? And I said, run? I said, okay. And we started. Because he was my 2 years senior to me, but we had a good rapport. He was in arts, I was in science. But he said that I want to defeat one person. He was a university blue in 100 meters. He wanted to defeat him. That was his aim. And he told me that, why don't you join me? I want company. So I said, okay. So we used to go every day morning for a run. He used to come, knock at my door. I used to come down and we used to go for a run. And solid, high, down, low, up, everything on the road. Morning, nobody's there. We used to do that. And till then he told me, didn't told me anything. On the last day, which was their schedule of our meeting together, and then next day in the college, they were going to have a run. So on the last day when we were together, he told me, Stephen, can you see? He removed his t-shirt and he showed. There was a sand of sack covered. He had put a sand of weighing some 4 or 5 kgs upon himself. And with that, he was running with me. I never defeated, that is different, but I gave him a company. And on that day, he said, tomorrow when we are going to have a run, 100 meters, in the college, I'll be without this sand, I'll be so light, I will take over that guy. I said, okay. And I was there as a witness. And to my surprise, what happened? The last 3 times, who used to be university blue, because it goes through from college, then from different college they come together at the university, and then university they will declare. So I could see that this, my friend, I'm proud to say my friend because I accompanied him, he ran, not only for some time, he was a little behind, by maybe 3-4 seconds he was behind. Because it's 100 meter. And he was very, very sharp in running. But my friend overtook him. And the challenge is, I could see him, that he's running after him. But when the 10 meters came, he overtook. And he ran. But that old university blue guy, he finished. He collapsed after 100 meters. He completed, but he collapsed. But whereas my friend, he was with joy, you know. So that is what it is. So, you know, so these are the heroes. Therefore, this is hindrance and sin so easily tangles. Sin. What is sin now? Sin is, I will look some again. Which you have not forgiven each other. Maybe those sins are there. So then going will be not easy. Isn't it? If you have not forgiven to one another, or something is there which you feel your conscience speaks of that I am sinning, then you have to give up that. And then your race will be very nice. You will run that race fully equipped. And he says that for the joy set before him, endure the cross, scorning insults. Yes. Then some of the people are there like Noah. How many years he took to build the ark? Any idea? Anyway, let us, controversial topic will leave aside. But he took many years. Is it okay? He took many years. Marathon race, he ran. What I mean to say is, people were making fun of him. They were making fun, they said that they were mocking at him. But he was focused. And he did it. He built his ark. Thereby what happened? He saved his family. He saved the animals. And that is why we all are here now. Is it? Because he saved the mankind and the animals and all everything. Then we see Abraham. Abraham, what happened to Abraham? He was told to come out of that town, his father's place. Then he was told to, God promised that he will give son in his old age. And after giving the son in his old age, he said, you now sacrifice. And he said, yes, Lord. And he did that also. He passed through all the test which God has given him. So are we passing those tests day to day? We have to be just seeing this. And then Joseph, he was put into slavery. And then on false allegations, they made him criminal for no fault of him. And then he was put into prison. But God worked and then changed the circumstance because he was very true to God. And circumstances were changed and he became second to Egypt. He became on the top in that Egypt because he was true to God. So that is what Joseph, from where we can learn. So I want to end with this saying that don't give up even when you fall. How many of us fall? I to fall number of times. There is no... But provision is there for us. What provision is there? Lord says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. A father, when a small child runs, father is there always running after that child, isn't it? So even if he falls, he picks up. My child, I am there. And because of that, father is there, and the child also runs fast. So likewise, God's provision is there. He will lift us by the hands. Don't worry. Even if you fall, run. God is there. And second, which... this is my favorite verse, which I like again and again. He says that, for though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when the calamity strikes. Though the righteous fall 7 times. The thing is, righteous, God is our righteousness. And something is there within me, makes me to look top and again run the race. We just don't give up. At the end, I want to just read one, this 1968 Olympic marathon. Angel will read.
In the 1968 Olympic marathon, Tanzanian runner Akwari was cramped up due to the high altitude of Mexico City. He fell badly, wounding his knee and dislocating that joint, plus his shoulder hit badly against the pavement. He, however, continued running, finishing last among the competitors who completed the race. The winner of the marathon, Mamo Oddly of the Ethiopia, finished at 2 hours 20 minutes 26 seconds. Akwari finished at 3 hours 26:25, 27 seconds, when there were only a few thousands of people left in the stadium, and the sun had set, a television screw was sent out from the medal ceremony when word was received that there was one more runner about to finish. As he finally crossed the finish line, a cheer came from the small crowd. When interviewed later and asked why he continued running, he said, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race."
Country has not sent me to start the race, but to finish the race. And he was late by more than one hour or so. So how we are completing this race in our body is more important. Paul completed. He said, "I have finished my race." What about you and me? We have to also complete the race as an individual, because our topic is endurance of individual. So friends, let us not look at right or left, but look ahead, that we have to run the race. May whatever comes in your life, may any type of sufferings we have to go through, because the word of God is very clear. In this world you will have sufferings. So let us look at the author, because there is no other like Lord Jesus, who sacrificed himself on that cross. People, they mocked at him. They tortured him. But he never gave up. Just because for you and for me. And that is why we are here. The ultimate runner we see are Jesus Christ, who ran the race. And he said, "It is finished." So friends, let us run this race. I call upon